Welcome back to Horror and Healed. I am Alicia.
I'm Jen.
And today we are joined once again by Naomi Grossman, who I don't know if we told you this, Naomi, on the last time, but you were our second official woman guest on the podcast. We skew heavily. A lot of men love to come on our podcast. We're trying to get more women.
And yeah.
You were our second. Deborah Baker Jr. from Stand Against Evil and some other things were our first. And you are our second, and we are happy to have you back.
Wonderful to be here.
If you guys didn't listen, Naomi was on our 1BR episode with producer Alok, and but we really only got to talk about 1BR, and Naomi's birth of work is greater by far than one movie, so we wanted to have her on to kind of just discuss all of the fun characters that she's gotten to portray over time, especially Miss Pepper, which I gotta say, the people who like you just do an amazing job at fan art. Like
fan art, yeah, behind you is
fantastic.
It's insane. Yeah, I'm embarking on a new little project, which will probably be done by the time this, but I'm trying to track down all of these artists right now for like something bigger that will be revealed in time.
Oh.
So yes, if you've painted me and you know, take a look at my socials, and if you see your piece, track me down.
Oh, sweet.
I'm looking for you. Yeah.
Cool. We'll share that. I'll share that on our IG.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So let's jump into it. Who was your favorite character ever to play?
I mean, it's really hard to beat Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, she was just like the little engine that could, you know. On the page, she was really, she was just a kind of a nothing role. But of course, making something out of absolutely nothing is kind of what I do. So, no, but I mean, it was such a fun role. Like I was given carte blanche opportunity to play, you know, because there was so little actually on the, it was up to me to, you know, improvise basically.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that was fun. Like, you know, I wasn't labored with a ton of dialogue to have to, you know, cram in my brain. Like I just had to be the character, and like, that's what I always grew up wanting to be when I grew up. Like, I just wanted to play house. I want to play doctor. Like, I want to just, like, be in character. I don't want to necessarily, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do want to memorize dialogue. You know, it was, you know, I just got to play. I got to be present and, you know, in the moment. And that's what I always wanted to be when I grew up. Plus, like I said, there was just, I got such a like a return on my investment. You know what I mean? Like this itty bitty role, then all of a sudden, boom, IMDb star meter, you know, skyrocketing, and like this fan art. Now I'm like traveling the world, and I'm quitting my day job, and I'm, you know, TMZ's jumping out of the bushes at me, and you know, people awaiting my arrival at LAX to sign their Funko Pop figures. Like it's just like what? Like it was just kind of this all of a sudden, all at once, you know, and it was pretty magical. That said, I never thought I would get a better role than one I've written for myself, that is in my solo show, because those are, that is probably the work I'm proudest of, because it's all me, like those, you know, LA Weekly Theater Award nominations and rave reviews and sold out houses, that's all me. Like I mean, I did pretty much everything but like tear the tickets for those shows. And so, you know, whereas, you know, American Horror Story's got like a whole machine behind it, plus $1 billion. So, you know, I mean, there were times where we would literally go over $1 million. Like I can't even.
Wow.
You know, whereas my solo shows, you know, I've produced two now. A third is on its way. Just secured financing. Yay. So. That is actually happening, but you
well,
know those.
It sounds food. Like you can steal some from the AHS budget, and people notice. Like, just be like, we need a little bit more for Pepper's makeup today.
Well, exactly. If you're going a million over an episode, maybe you could throw me just like a couple.
Yeah, just throw me a couple dollars.
It's like probably in the asylum, you know, seat cushion. No, yeah. But yeah, I mean, those shows, like I said, were produced with like my Spanish teaching side job at the, like, whatever didn't go towards like rent and food went towards those shows. So like I said, I have a personal satisfaction around the success of those shows, because that like was, I no one else gets to take credit for that.
Yeah.
You know, right. But cool.
No, I like that.
It's interesting because they are polar opposites. Like, one is like all dialogue. It's literally like all the words, all at once. Mm-hmm. For an hour, you know, and the other is like a monosyllabic grunt, like maybe once an hour, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
One has all the budget, one has no budget. It's they're, but it also kind of like speaks to my range. Like I'm up for whatever. Like, yeah, I'm not just a, you know, a grunter. I also speak in, you know, long paragraphs.
Yeah.
But I can, I'm also not above grunting. Like,
yeah.
I love, you know what I mean? So I'm just all about kind of the role. Like, what is, who is this person? You know, I'm interested in being someone else, which I should probably talk to a therapist with about. But you know, that's all I care about. Like when they say, you know, just throw it away, just do you, just, you know, don't do anything, just don't, you know, just do, you know, just be Naomi.
It's like no, I don't. That's,
no,
I don't.
Why? I could do reality TV if I wanted to do Naomi. Right. Like,
I do Naomi all day, every day. Yeah. I want to be something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did the makeup for Pepper take?
That's exactly what I was about to ask.
That was a 2.5 to 3 hour process. It consisted of a prosthetic brow, nose, ears, arm. There was, of course, a wonky eye, like a lens that they put in my eye, some fake teeth. I had all of it, like a little, this little like hair, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was another, Salty, my husband, had, was a bald guy. So it was like kind of sucked that he got to go through his, you know, just go about his life normal.
Yeah,
and I had
horrible, yeah. That's crazy.
So that was nice. Besides, it was like July in New Orleans. Like, you don't want anything on your body you don't have to have. So, yeah.
That worked.
Yeah.
Was it like the first concept? Did they have to do like mini makeup takes? Like, were there different looks that they tried and then that's the one that they went with?
Yeah, many. I think, once they cast me, that decided a lot of things, because, you know, that those same prosthetics you could put on your face and they would look different. They could put on your face and look different. Like,
yeah,
everybody looks different with the same prosthetics. So for whatever reason, like, my face with those prosthetics was like kind of the magical
combination
element.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, I remember in the first makeup test, they weren't actually going to shave my head initially. They actually fitted me for a bald cap. But the thing is, first of all, they're so meticulous. I mean, there's a reason that show gets all the ads. They just do everything so well. And, so, you know, I just, knowing now that hair and makeup department, I don't see them just slapping a ball cap on.
Like, yeah.
If they were doing a ball cap, it was probably going to be incredibly expensive ball caps with like hair sewn in.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Plus way more than I do. Like, it was way easier to just pay me off to shave my head, you know, buy me a fancy wig than those. Because again, they have to do that for every single, you know, every single day. Like, there was not a single makeup job that got recycled.
Right.
So it was an expensive endeavor and very time consuming. You know, again, a quick haircut at the top of every day, or sometimes I would come in the day before just to expedite things.
Yeah.
And that would take 10 minutes max. Whereas to, you know, apply a ball cap, this is not just like a, you know, swimming cap that you just strap on and
go
business. Everything takes forever.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was one of those. Plus, I think they also had in mind, well, gee whiz, if she's microcephalic, she has a small head. If we're stuffing a bunch of hair into a cap, well, that's not going to help the situation. Yeah. So, you know, they it all kind of worked together. Plus, you know, like I said, they weren't going to shrink my head. Although there probably was talk of, you know, using some CGI to actually, you know, manipulate the size of my head. But whenever they can use practical effects, they would rather.
Yeah.
It's just more, it's more envy. You know what I mean? It's a boasting point. Like, we did that as opposed to, like, we had to rely on.
Animate. Yeah, I think a lot of horror fans are big into practical effects.
Yeah.
CGI, really, you want to piss off a horror fan, talk about CGI.
It was all we talked about in the Friday or the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. We just talked about like how horrible certain things looked as in comparison to the original, because they used CGI in the remake heavily.
Well,
it's
impressive to think of how creative they're able to be. Like, you know, like I said, well, we can't shrink her head, build out her body. Like, yeah. I look much bigger than I actually am, just right. Because, you know, if my torso is that much heavier, and then suddenly my head looks small, you know.
Yeah. So, optical illusions kind of thing.
Yeah. Ways around it. And I, of course, helped the situation by crouching down. Like, I had horrific posture when I, you know, Pepper. So I looked, again, I looked wider and much even shorter. You know, people are always like, oh, you're normal sized. I'm like, yeah, I'm just standing up straight.
Yeah. That's hilarious. And I'm sure that like the makeup and those people also enjoy the challenge of not using CGI, of how can we do this, and working with you to figure out how to make it like that. That's so much more fun, because that's why you're in it, to be creative, to do those challenges. Like, that sounds like so much fun.
They don't get the Emmys by passing the buck to the special effects guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What other projects? Have you worked on any other horror projects?
I have. I'm trying to think of, I'm thinking of stuff that you would definitely have seen, because a lot of it has been kind of lower budget.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Well, there was the Horror Stories, you know, the spinoff.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, there was a film, The Chair, that was a horror movie.
Oh, okay. There
was called The Lurker, that was the Portal horror movie.
I see one here called An Accidental Zombie. What was that one about?
That was a zom-com. That was definitely not horror. But I mean, it has zombies, but you know, it was it was more of a comedy than anything. Bite Me, the same thing. It was a vampire rom-com. Well, you sounds like you've got my resume right there.
I'm looking at your IMDb trying to see The Lurker. So what was that one about? I haven't seen that one.
That's like I said, just went straight to festivals, and I don't know if I see them again. You know, it's like one of those. I play the principal of this school in Chicago. You know, it's kind of like a high school show within a show. You know, there's I want to say they're doing Macbeth in the school play. And then there's a real live murder on the.
Oh. That sounds like something right up my alley.
That's fun. I like things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get that streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
I know. It's so funny. People are always like, oh, when's that coming out? I'm like, my work is done. Like, I don't know.
Right.
It could happen.
Yeah. And they don't keep you in the loop. Like.
No. I mean, they'll let you know when they're like, we need you to do this podcast, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of I see too, you've been the guest judge. The Halloween Wars one, I knew I had seen that episode, but I didn't know the Hell's Kitchen one, and
I was just a guest on that, you know.
Yeah.
Invited to come have dinner with some friends.
He just keeps getting invited to go eat nice food. I mean
I know. I mean, hey, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. I'll eat cupcakes. Can somebody please invite me to judge a cupcake? I'm ready.
Right.
A lot of market research on cupcakes. I'm ready. Just
I was worried about that one. Everything they made looked like some kind of phallus. And it was like, do I say it? Like, it was one of the things where I was like, you know, I don't know. It was almost like a Rorschach painting where it was like, everything I see, what does that say again about me? I should probably get about this that rather than air my, you know, national television. Your cupcake looks like a, you know what?
It's a cupcake.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
That's great. You should have just said it. If they, you figure they'll just cut it out if they can't use it.
Yeah. Well, that was my problem. I was like, are they going to be able to use this? Are they going to be like,
doesn't. Right. Like, don't have her on again. This is her last run.
Or at least get her some action. Poor girl. Clearly,
she's starved, and
you know, there's a dearth over there.
I know how that is. Oh my God.
Now, when you did you have to interview for audition for Pepper, and like what do you feel overall about the auditioning process? Do you look forward to it? Does it make you crazy?
Okay, this is pretty. People can't see the ginormous eye roll and vomit.
Those real big guys, I'll testify.
Yeah.
No, I hate auditions. Well, to be fair, that's probably the one thing I like. I can't say like about the pandemic in two words, like and pandemic. Yeah. But if there's one thing that I would keep from the last 2 years, it's these virtual auditions, because, you know, I just have more control. I don't get nervous anymore. I can just,
yeah.
You know, if I don't get it right the first time, I can do a second take. In fact, I'm going to do a second take anyway and, you know, play a little, see what I like.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when you're walking in that, you know, audition room, oh man, chances are you're going to see your frenemy. She's gonna, you know, look at you that way, and then all hell breaks loose, you know, like, so yeah. I
miss names.
You know what's so funny is I have to, if they are watching this, particularly actress friends who are probably, as they're shouting at the computer, so
yeah. You
know. Yeah, no, we all, there's this one chick who she takes all the roles,
because you guys are, yeah, you get the same roles, right? Yeah,
yeah. Although I've taken from her too, so we're, you know, it goes both ways. She, yeah. For all I know, she's in some virtual world giving the exact same interview.
Yeah.
No,
keep taking her.
No, I no, so I haven't missed my frenemy. But, you know, I don't know. I kind of botched an audition just last week because it was a callback, which is all the more kind of painful because you're that much closer.
Yeah.
Just because tech didn't cooperate. Like I failed to pin myself or ping them, or I don't know these words, but yeah. You know, like I couldn't see my reader. Like my reader was like this tiny little postage stamp on a Zoom square. Mm. And I was, you know, 10 feet back. And so I was like acting with little miniature on the screen, yeah. Like not ideal. And that's the kind of thing that you know, it just happens. Like you cannot control. Whereas had I walked in the room, I would have seen the whites of their eyes. I could have connected and I would have, you know, who knows? I might.
don't go there. Just
the path not traveled. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Who knows? But yeah, I don't love auditioning. I get oddly nervous, and it's weird because it's all mental. If you can just if I could just change the way I think about it, you know, if instead of like this knee jerk like eye roll, vomit reaction I have, if I could go, oh, awesome, I have an opportunity to be someone else. That's what I want to be when I grow up. If I could just do that and think, oh, and, you know, and today I get an audience, even better. I probably would be much more successful at it. So it really is, it's something that I have to work it out with a therapist. The Pepper audition was actually like this perfect storm situation. They had me, my friend of me was not there. She's too big. No, she was she's normal size, that is. They needed a beat person for this, and so I walked into this like sea of little people, which again, that's like a mind f unto itself, because you're like, oh wow, what am I doing here? I walk away, you know. So I had that to kind of mentally wrap my head around. Then I remember when I walked in, I even made a joke like, oh, I'm a giant, like 5 feet of fun, like towering over my competition. I had to do a little monologue of Jessica Lange from season one. And then they gave me a ball. They asked me, you know, drop that character and now play like, I don't know, a 4-year-old. Take this ball and try to get us to play. So that's what I did. Like, and at the time I was like, I'm an adult now, I'm a 4-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
From the theater, that happened all the time. Like, I played 4-year-olds often, you know, because it's the theater. Like,
yeah.
We play trees. We play, you know, anything. Whereas in film and television, if they need a 4-year-old, they'll hire a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, like, you know,
what room am I in, right?
Right. So, and it was one of those things where it went so well. And I remember leaving, again, this is something I don't miss from pre-pandemic times, that drive home in traffic, you know.
Just going over it.
Yeah, and just flagellating yourself, you know, with your sides, like, damn it. But this time it was like, damn it, that was so good.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
I'll never get it. Like, this is the role you nail, the one with, like, where pretty much everyone looks better, like, looks more the part than you. Of course, I didn't even know what the part really was.
Right.
I just knew if they're trying to cast some freaky people in a horror show, I don't know. That could be argued, actually. I have my freaky moments, but you know, on paper, I'm pretty average. But I think
that's what all cult members say about.
A lot of people that would. Probably...
Now, at what age did you know, like, okay, acting's the thing for me. It's the thing I want to do. It's the misery to endure.
Right. I know.
Because it just seems,
I was 5 or 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, if it's good, it's good. And if it's not, it's really not. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like it's constantly like this. So, like, even at 5 or 6, you're like, I'm going to just ride a roller coaster of acting and see what happens.
You know, I was very naive going into it. But you're supposed to be naive when you're 5. I mean, it would be weird if I was like old and jaded at the age of 5.
Right.
No, but you know, I thought acting, you know, playing house, but like professionally, you know, like just getting paid to be the mom or the neighbor or the, and it is, but there's way more than even when I got my degree. You know, I went to drama school, and you know, the stuff they taught us there is great and all, but there's a whole nother aspect now that we have, you know, all this tech. You know, like I said, they didn't teach me in drama school how to Zoom meetings so that you can see your reader and actually act the moment, you know.
That wasn't a class.
Like stuff like that. It seems so simple, but it literally cost me a job. So, you know, I was in too deep. Like, I wanted it too much. Even to this day, somebody asked me last, if you weren't an actor, what would you be? And I was like, I have nothing. Yeah. And I've been thinking about that all week. And even then, I figured it out. I would be a Cirque du Soleil performer. I would be like a Navarro cheerleader. I would be a Big Frida backup dancer. Like, I would still be a performer. Like,
yeah,
I
doing need something. Yeah.
On stage, I need eyes on me, the spotlight. I need.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't. I don't know. There's really. There was never anything else for me. I know for a fact that when people are like, I don't know, my kid's a little on the fence about, you know, this acting thing. I'm like, let them try it. Then what's on the other side of that fence? Because seriously, like, if they have questions now, like, I have questions now and it's way too late. Like,
oh.
You know, I'm on the fence and it's like, no, this ship has sailed. You're doing this, dude.
Yeah. Do you have any of the talents for Cirque du Soleil? Because I thought that was an interesting...
Yeah, I mean, no, yes. I mean, obviously, I'm a performer, and I do, you know, I love yoga.
Yeah.
And I'm very flexible, but no, I mean, that's a whole nother...
Oh, okay, I was like, are you
20 years too old for that now.
Yeah.
Maybe I could be, like, the bearded lady or something. I don't know.
I've never been to a circus. I used to watch it on TV. I've never been to a live show. Seems like it'd be cool.
Speaking of bearded ladies, was it as awesome to be around Kathy Bates as I imagine?
Yeah, she's very special. There's not a bad batch in that bunch. You know, it's everyone is. I mean, Kathy, Jessica. Angela.
Yeah.
I mean, these are like legends. And you're just like, another day at work. Like, wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool. That was the only one that I actually made it all the way through. Every other AHS I watch and then I end up stopping, like, just, and I don't know why. Like, I always just fall off and I don't get back to it. Freak Show is the only one that I actually made it all the way through.
Well, yeah, that's a good one to get.
Yeah.
Didn't make it through Roanoke, and I didn't make it through Coven.
Yeah.
Didn't make it through Roanoke. I didn't watch any of Roanoke, actually. And I didn't make it through 1984.
Oh, made it through 1984.
I haven't made it through that one either. Fell off that one, too. And it's not like I hate it or I don't want... Like, I just...
Started Apocalypse.
Don't get back to it.
Apocalypse was the most recent, right? Haven't started that yet.
Yeah.
Apocalypse.
You're in it, right? But in a different role.
I don't know if I should say I am in the last episode.
Okay.
That's the end
in and of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's a small role, but hey, no small roles.
All right. And that's how you get the roles from being
exactly. Although I'm almost actually.
Yeah. I still need to go watch
I'll stoop. Don't worry. I know how to hunch. I can fit.
Exactly. What size do you need me to be?
Yeah, right? I got it. I got you.
I'll never wear heels again. Don't worry.
It's true. I'm either 5 feet of fun because it rolls off the tongue, or sometimes I'm like 5 feet one. And it's, who cares? Like, it's like, what do they want? Like, I can be short if you want. I can hold myself high. Like,
Right. They do apple boxes and all that stuff anyways.
Oh, hell yeah. It wasn't a horror movie, but it was called Murder RX.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say much about it other than that I'm kind of the antagonist. Oh, well. But the protagonist is at least a foot taller than me. And yes, the whole time we're on apple boxes, because it just looks ridiculous. Like, what if you... Items. Like, she could literally, like, just way.
Yeah.
Children of the Corn, when they're walking through the cornfields, they actually dug ditches for Malachi so that him and Isaac wouldn't be so off in the scenes. And then in other scenes, Isaac is on boxes.
Apple boxes, yeah.
Yeah.
Fortunately, in this, we duke it out, ultimately, like, horizontal on the ground. And, you know, when you're on horizontal on the ground, everybody's the same height.
Yeah.
So it all worked out.
Oh, that's good. So you did actually, you did stunts for that one? Like.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Do you enjoy doing your own stunts? Do you feel?
Yeah, like, I'm energized by it? The bigger the project, the less likely they are to let you do that. You know, they're like, oh, we got a pro for this. Which I get. Like, I'm about to work on a Netflix show, which I can't say much about. I'm just praying that they let me do it by myself, because I can see them saying, like, you know, we should get a pro. And I'm like, no, but, like, literally, you're not going to find a more physical actress than me. Like,
yeah.
If you want someone to do this, like, to be the character and do this, like, you hired the right person.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. I'll come back on the show.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Have you learned any, like, cool skills? Because I know part of the things being an actor, you get to learn, like, if you're a poker player, you get to do poker lessons, or if you're a gunslinger, you get to have you gotten to do anything like that, like, learn any cool skills from any roles yet?
That's a good question. No.
Not yet. We gotta get you some. That's part of the perks. Free lessons on stuff.
Seriously, No.
Yeah, let's get you some cool. Let's get you a gunslinger role. You can learn how to, like, flip the gun, or, like, learn something cool, some cool skill.
Well, you know, Alok, our buddy, from the 1BR producer, and I went axe throwing last week.
Yes, I've done that.
Oh, I thought that's not a skill I have.
Yeah. I saw the photos for that on his Facebook.
Oh, you did? That was before he got, like, banned for the day. Or
of course he did.
I'm like, what? I guess it is rather violent, but...
It is, yeah, I love axe throwing. It's so much fun. I'm not great at it, but it's a fun...
I'm terrible, but no one got, so...
That's a win.
That's the goal.
That's a win.
I'm actually fairly good at it, and I think that's because of my pent-up rage, so I don't know. That says maybe I should also have some things to discuss with my therapist. Hey, Nick, I'm real good at axe throwing. What do you think that
means? Have you ever been to one of those rage rooms where, like, you can just break stuff?
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard of them. I've never been to one.
That I think I would be really good at.
Just destroying things.
It would depend on what they handed me, because I'd be like, oh, but the pattern on this plate seems really too pretty to destroy.
Yeah, it seems like such a waste, honestly.
Yeah, so I'm like,
I would be comfortable if they, like, I guess if they were going to, like, say, the Salvation Army and finding, like, or people were donating, like, broken, already moderately broken items, and you're just breaking them fully, like, that I could see. Because people, like, I know they say, like, we will accept, like, broken TV.
Yeah.
And, computer towers, like, that stuff. But if the stuff looks in good repair, I'm like,
oh, can I just have this
glass? Like, there are people just getting their first house who could use a glass to drink
out of. We should have rage repair rooms where people come in and just find something they want to repair at the store.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, I know you're not in Los Angeles, but yeah, if you walk down the street, there's plenty of stuff on the corner.
Oh yeah.
I suppose if I were running one of those rage rooms, I would probably just take a drive around the neighborhood.
Free overhead right there.
You know, yeah, and it helps the neighborhood, you know.
Yeah, kind of clean it up a little bit.
Gentrify a bit.
Jen's LA, Naomi. Jen's in LA with you.
Oh, yeah.
I just, you know, when I want to just destroy something, it's in the moment. I'm not like, oh, let me pencil in a time to go to the
room. Yeah, yeah. Like,
that's weird.
It is a weird activity. I've always been like, who needs that? Like, who's, it's so, like, I'm ready to go smash and break stuff. Like, oh, maybe they definitely should be going to therapy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it does well, just the novelty of it. But yeah, I think if you're like, oh, I'll get it out when I, you know, Thursday, when, that seems weird to me.
I'm going to pin up all this rage.
Whereas a skill.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to just, like, put my hand through this mirror, I'll save with my appointment.
Yeah.
What?
I don't have anger scheduled. I can't put that in today.
So to supplement, during, you know, when things are slow in acting land, what you said, Spanish teaching, what other things have you done to supplement during?
Well, I guess it was in Freak Show when I had to leave my, you know, home day job, teaching Spanish to go to New Orleans to work on location. That's when I quit the day job for good. I do consider that to, at the time, that was like making it. Like,
yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong, I love a star on Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be on the side of a bus. I have to be careful. I want to be on an advertisement.
Yeah.
I feel like
at some point, I'm literally gonna be clarify, like, clarify.
And be like, well, I manifested it. No. So, you know, don't get me wrong. There's things I'm not fully cooked. You know, I have a ways to go still. But for me at the time, being able to quit conjugating verbs, you know, on the side was a huge win. I think my next win will be when I can be offer only and don't have to audition.
Have to audition, yeah.
And never see my friend and me ever again. So that would, but pre Freak Show, well, pre Spanish teaching, because honestly, I was actually a really good Spanish teacher. I taught at this adult school, and so the people actually wanted to be there, you know, unlike kids in school. For the most part, they were like, they would tell me, they're like, dude, I'm not learning any Spanish, but I have so much fun in your class. And like, you know, I could go to like the, you know, the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store, but then I'd have to like pay to park and like the drink minimum and a cover charge. And like this way I can save that and I can write it off. Like,
yeah.
My boss will pay for it, you know? No, I was a really good teacher and I enjoyed it. It was actually, it allowed me, you know, go to my audition and feel like a person. I don't know how, what am I trying to say? Basically, I was getting absolutely nowhere, covered in other people's ketchup, you know, racing from my waiting table job or whatever to go try to like be a TV star. Like that was not, it was just too much of a disconnect. Like I felt like crap, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me to go from my Spanish teaching job where I was la profesora, where I was the, you know, best in class. Like I had this captive crowd of adults who respected me. Yeah. That it was a less of a disconnect than when I would walk into an audition. I'm not, like I said, no one's snapping their fingers at me.
Yeah. No,
like, you know, spilling their coffee all over, you know? So I was, I think, you know, it's fake it till you make it. Like there is a certain amount of just like mindset. Like I was talking about, like I need to change my attitude about auditions. Like the minute I was able to change my attitude from, oh, I'm just a lowly, you know, waitress covered in ketchup. When I could turn that around into, no, actually, I don't even need this job because I'm actually la profesora and like people love me. And so if whether you want to love me too, like,
yeah, you know, that's interesting.
So yeah, Spanish teaching was a real kind of godsend. It was it. But before that, oh man, I drove the Red Bull car. Until I crashed it into a shopping mall.
Oh no.
Yes. I danced for money at bar mitzvahs. Like I was like getting the, you know, the kids out or the uncle, if you will. I posed nude in art classes.
Wow.
Okay. So really ran the gamut there.
All the hustling.
Yeah. Yeah. I was often like that, whoever that sad, sad human that has to like wear the furry suit at the mall. Like I was her a lot of the time.
I hope you never showed up to a bar mitzvah thinking you were doing a nude art class.
reference. Yes, yes.
They do become men that day. They do become men.
Yeah, that's right.
So, with teaching Spanish, are you a native Spanish speaker? Like,
I lived in Argentina in my formative years, and so yeah, my Spanish is not good.
Oh, nice.
But also because I'm clearly an English speaker, I understand both sides. Like I understand how to learn it as an English speaker, but also like why it is the way it is. I think that's one of the things that was probably attractive about me as a teacher is that, you know, so many of the you know, native speakers, which
they got to flip it around. They got to
say, well, why is it feminine versus masculine or whatever? Like these don't even exist in English. And they were like, just is. And whereas I actually like I have answers to those questions. So,
yeah. Cool.
I don't have an answer to that. It's bizarre.
Like wait, that's the one thing I don't actually know.
Yeah, and especially like why is well, they're not always feminine. I was gonna say, why is a penis feminine?
Wait, how do you say penis in
Spanish? Not always. There's also like, but anyway, yeah, I digress.
Well, no, but now I want to know how to say penis in Spanish.
Well, I was thinking la polla, but you could also say el pito o el pene or la verga. You're gonna have to put a disclaimer on this episode for Spanish speakers.
Oh, have you ever heard our show? If you can hear penis in English,
cursing.
That's right. I mean, Alok can't get through an entire. He can't say his full name without an F bomb.
Yeah, we've been. Oh, we've been. Yeah, our show has been not for children since day one. So,
okay. We work hard for that E.
Yeah, we've actually been pretty tame.
This one probably won't even get an E rating.
Oh,
be like, I don't know. Comparatively, this is their clean episode.
We try to vibe with our guests, and so we're like,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, my mom listens to everything I do, and so this is for, you know.
Yeah.
Nice. E is for Grossman, Mrs. Grossman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Grossman.
Hi. Yeah, my dad was trying to tell one of our families from church what my podcast was, and I was like, no. I was like, don't.
Please don't.
I was like, they don't need to listen to it. I was like, it's fine that they know that I have it, but we don't need to be promoting it. If they happen to come across it, fine. I'm not hiding it or anything, but it's like, this is not going to be up her alley. There's no reason for her to go listen to it.
I made a joke about how now that I'm married, I don't need to give head anymore. And literally my brother's like, I listen to your podcast. I'm like, you're 12. It has an explicit rating. You're not supposed to be able to. And actually, I think he was like 10 or 11. When
Lord.
That episode. I'm like, thanks for the support. Now stop.
Now don't ever listen to it again. Yeah.
But he's like my little horror buddy, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have any siblings, Naomi?
I don't. I'm an only child.
It's never too late, Naomi. If I can teach you anything in life, it's never too late. No, I got my brothers when I was in my 30s, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So my dad fell in love, and now I have some brothers. So it's never too late in life to not be an only child.
She's like, I can't even think about that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm good.
She's like, we made it this far. I don't need that.
Also, I really like the only child life. It's for me.
I think that was, you know, we all have like traumas as kids, and I loved being an only child. I had my parents' undivided attention at all times. I wasn't spoiled as monetarily, you know, but they took me to all the classes and all the everything. And so I enjoyed, you know, that kind of attention.
Yeah.
And the moment I walked in, that was honestly, that was the worst thing that could ever happen to me. Because first of all, it's awful. If that's ever happened to anyone, it's awful. But especially, I just had such little information at the time. I knew that that's where babies came from. All of a sudden, my parents were hiding me. I wasn't enough. You know, I felt this immense feeling of dissatisfaction and deception. Like they were doing this thing without me.
It's without weird. Consulting.
Like we are a partnership. Like what
are you guys doing here?
Jack, have you also walked in on your parents?
Oh yeah.
You guys, Ed and I lock the door every time. Every time. Doors have locks for a reason. Public service announcement to any parents out there. You our guys house, lock on your door.
We don't have, there's no locks in our, other than the front door and the back door, none of our rooms in our house have locks.
Parents, if this is you, I implore you, get a lock. That doorknob is a $10 change, my friend.
It is.
That'll be worth it.
You do feel this betrayal. You're like, what the hell? Why are they doing this?
I mean, it's just a ridiculous in the adult mind, but when you think about it, like, oh,
yeah.
there's a lot of pathos there.
Yeah, it makes you mad. It makes you angry. I didn't want to talk to my mom the whole next day. I was like, I have nothing to say to you.
I'd like to thank Michael Minogue for always locking his doors, I guess. I don't know, but never. Never seen it, so.
I don't know what to tell you.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, and then my mom wrote this tell-all book. I'm like, it's bad enough that I had to see it. Now I got to read about it.
And everybody else gets to read about it.
It's like 50 Shades of Grey pubes. It's just like, whoa. Like, the first, it's a good 300 pages. And the last 100 is... after my dad, I mean, she just sowed her wild oats.
She had a whole summer. She had a whole summer. 60.
She basically what normal, you know, what we were doing in our 20s, she did it at age 60. And if you want to read about it.
This book? Yeah, like, what is this book?
It's called Coming of Age, Come Rain or Come Shine.
Wow.
The word come appears... three times in the title alone.
And we're worried about her listening to our podcast right now.
Yeah. You know what? She's very proud of the book. And so if anything, she'll appreciate the little plug. But I don't think she sees it that way. She thinks of it, it's her truth.
Yeah.
Her truth. And of all people, I should be able to understand that. I do the same thing. That's what my shows are all about.
Yeah.
So in a way, I'm kind of, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but I don't know. There's just things that you don't want to know about your folks.
Right. It's slime. And it's fine.
All in the last 300 pages, you know.
Yeah.
That is. It's probably great for everyone else. But for me, I am the one reader that should not read that book.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. You shouldn't have to
not be honest. Just my parents are probably... Your churchgoers are not the audience of this podcast.
Right, exactly. It's meant for some people, not for everybody. Right. And it's okay.
Yep.
Found it. Saved.
Oh, God.
Where did you find it?
I told two avid readers like Jack and myself about this.
She's going to have one more reader.
Martha is getting some.
On Kindle. The price is right on Kindle.
Yeah.
I'm sure my mom could use the if you want to actually purchase it, it goes to a good cause. But also if you want to save the money, I don't blame you.
That's amazing. I love it.
Naomi, is there anything else that you would like to plug or let us know that's coming up in your world?
Oh, gosh. You know, the good stuff I can't talk about, of course. I did a movie. It's not a horror movie, but I'm pretty horrible in it. It's called Replica. It's a Mickey Rourke movie. We shot that last September. There was a pre-screening for the cast and crew in April, and I missed it. So I know there is an out. I'm not sure what the projection for that is, if it's going to festivals or or if they're shopping around for distribution now. I'm not sure what's going on with it, but I play a neo-Nazi meth head who's pregnant.
Wow.
That's going to be, it is a lot, and it's going to be fun. I can only wait.
That's got to be the opposite of Pepper. I don't imagine a neo-Nazi meth head pregnant woman being quiet.
Yeah.
No.
Or not having a lot to say.
But again, it was like, it was so far from me. That's what was fun about
it. Yeah.
I fell down a rabbit hole on YouTube, and when I came to set, they were like, oh my God, you're going for it. And I'm like, well, yeah, there's no like subtle meth heads. Like if you've watched
Faces
of Death or whatever, there's no like beautiful to that. You know? I did a movie also relatively recently, that was April, called, I forget what I do. It was a kids movie called Pet Detectives.
Oh.
And I don't want to say too much, but, I'm the science teacher, and David Faustino's in it. Corinne Nemec. What's his name from Stranger Things? Sean Astin.
Oh, nice,
nice.
That was fun. We you know, like I said, it's a kids movie, so I doubt you'll be talking here.
Oh,
but,
how times have changed. She said Sean Astin.
No, from Stranger Things.
The Goonies. Oh, I know.
Okay.
The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Yeah. Goonies. No, Lord of the Rings.
Like, only the biggest movies ever made.
Yeah. Damn kids.
What else? Yeah, like I said, I got some other stuff, but I'd have to kill ya.
All right. Well, we don't want that.
I would say in a couple months you'll
I mean, Jen, where. Really, because you're the one most likely. She's not gonna fly cross country tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm down the street.
I mean, she might outsource it though. But.
Oh, you are down the street.
Yeah, I'm in
that
LA.
Your VCR out bash
I
up.
I left it out there.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, a Thursday at 5. I'll
okay, yes. Yeah. Actually, that's actually when I had scheduled my rage, so
perfect.
That's
perfect.
Great.
I'll be really angry then, I'm sure.
Mine is not scheduled for Saturday until Sunday at 3 a.m., so can't join you guys. Sorry. Well, Naomi, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. It was great as always. You're welcome here at Horror and Heels whenever you like.
Thank you. If you'd like my mom on, I'm sure.
You will not turn that down.
Talk about horror shows. Just wait till you get the book.
It'll be your personal horror episode.
Right.
Horror episode for Naomi.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We had so much fun.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And you can follow Naomi. It's Naomi Grossman, or is it?
At Naomi W.
Okay. All right. Cool. Perfect.
Sounds
cool.
Good.
Well, thanks again.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, have a good day.
Thank you, everyone who listened. You know you can always find us at Horror and Heels everywhere. Even horrorandheels@gmail.com. You can email us. Please give us some feedback. Or if you have questions that you'd like us to ask Naomi next time she comes on, please let us know. We will ask them. And as always, stay scared, our friends.
Bye.
Bye.